off Adrian up the middle, room to the 20, cuts to the left to the 25, and Adrian's loose! He splits the defense! 50, 40, 30, goodbye, baby! Touchdown! That's an 82-yard touchdown by Adrian Peterson, matching the longest of his career.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Indeed, it's Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Two games to go for your favorite team. We take on the Houston Texans on the road this weekend, then close it with the Green Bay Packers from All of America Field. And Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, per usual, joins us right out of the gate. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Congratulations on the victory against St. Louis after you beat the Chicago Bears. It's December football and you guys are finishing well.
Yeah, I like the way our guys are playing, the way our team is really coming together. That's one of the exciting parts about where we are at this point in the season, the fact that we're playing like a team. I mean, guys are really pulling for one another and picking each other up. It's really making a difference.
Tell us, Leslie, how you expect the Texans, for the most part, to try to slow Adrian Peterson.
Well, like a lot of teams, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to line up eight guys in the box. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to do different things to try to offset what we do up front. But we think we're prepared. It's going to be a tremendous challenge. They have a very good run defense, but they'll be a lot like a lot of other people and just load the box.
Are you seeing different approaches from defenses weekly? Like after the victory at St. Louis, you pretty much went out of your way to say that they really, really dedicated themselves to the run. You see that on a weekly basis, but did St. Louis do anything differently to try to slow the running game?
They did. They did a few things a little bit different. They came out with five defensive linemen on first and second down, which we don't see a lot of. Yeah. And they were intent on our not being able to run the ball and run it effectively. And early on, that was the case. I mean, but we eventually broke a long run, but they were intent on stopping our run game.
So that's what St. Louis did when Adrian had eight carries for 8 yards.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, they come in with five D linemen. You know, we're accustomed to seeing maybe three guys down or four guys down, but you don't always see in early downs five big guys on the line of scrimmage, along with, you know, taking out a corner and putting in a safety. So they were determined to say, okay, Minnesota, you're not going to run the ball. You're going to have to throw the football.
From your experience as a player and a coach, what is it like when teams, specifically the defenses, Leslie, see what Adrian Peterson is doing on film? They start on Monday. They do it on their own time on Tuesday. Then they all get together and do it on Wednesday up to the game. What's that like from a defensive standpoint?
Well, you know, every coach in that meeting room is coming up with ideas about ways to stop that particular team's run game. In our case, you know, Adrian Peterson. So as you go through it during the week, most of the time you feel pretty good. You say, okay, we've got every guy in a gap. We've got everything protected. There's no way he can get out. Well, we've seen if one guy's out of his gap, and even if he's in his gap, Adrian can either run over him, run by him, or run through him. So the best laid plans sometimes aren't the best plans, and it's because of the talent of Adrian in our offensive line.
Let's go back to the mid-'80s. Eric Dickerson had the 21-05 in 84. You were playing then. Mm-hmm. And do you remember, I believe it was an NFC title game, where you played at home against the St. Louis Rams or the LA Rams, and their quarterback was Dieter Brock. Mm. He was a high-percentage guy, but kind of a middle-of-the-road guy at best. Their running back was Eric Dickerson. So we can draw a correlation here in that you have a high-percentage guy as your quarterback and a big-time running back. So do you remember what it was like looking at Eric Dickerson with that quarterback situation he had?
That's funny you asked me that. Someone asked me that same question earlier today, and you're right. We played the Rams in the NFC Championship game, and we went into it that week much like probably the Texans and everybody that plays us goes into our game saying, we've got to stop Eric Dickerson. And they had a decent quarterback, decent receivers, but our focus was purely on Dickerson. And, you know, we end up doing a real good job against him and shutting down their offense. But That's a lot of pressure on an offense when it's one guy, and we were able to get it done.
Adrian Peterson, over the last since week seven, has 1,313 yards. That's the exact same amount of rushing yards Arian Foster has for the entire year, and Arian arguably is top three running back in the National Football League. Take us through, Leslie, some of your better running plays, obviously without divulging exactly how they're executed, but what has to happen for Adrian Peterson to get loose on those long runs?
Well, you know, the fact that we added Jerome Felton in the offseason, he's been a great addition to some of the things we've been doing in the run game. Some of Adrian's best runs have come when we've had two wide receivers on the field, one tight end, two running backs, and with Jerome being able to be the lead blocker for Adrian. And what has to happen for us to be successful, that lead blocker has to do an excellent job, whether he's blocking a linebacker or a safety. And we do so much double team that we have to do a good job with our guards, our centers, and our tackles as well, being able to get movement on their defensive linemen and then work up to the second level. And for us, we've had success in doing that. Our guys really believe in our run game, and that's probably why we've been successful.
Has Matt Khalil become one of the best left tackles in the NFL already?
Oh, without question. I mean, some of the things he's doing as a rookie just makes you feel good about that position for the long term. He's really solidified a spot where we were really concerned about. And his long arms, his passion for the game, his athleticism, he's just going to get better and better.
And these offensive linemen become very, very confident in their ability and their skills because they're part of what Adrian Peterson is doing. They're part of arguably the greatest rushing offense in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. So nobody wants to let the other person down.
And that's one of the beauties of our offensive line. Those guys have become a cohesive unit. They really work well together. As you recall, I mean, we've got some new starters at various positions. We got a new left tackle, a new left guard, a returning center, a new right guard, or a returning right tackle. So for those guys to come together the way they have, I mean, it's been great for our team.
How much confidence, Leslie, did Christian Ponder gain when he bounced off Robert Quinn for your first touchdown and dove to the end zone and slammed the ball down?
I think it helped him tremendously from a confidence standpoint to be able to make a play on his own. I mean, things had broken down. He ended up scrambling, making a play, and that's the Christian we saw early in the season, and that's exactly what we needed in that situation. Rather than being a dead play, it ended up being a great play for our offense.
Now, we've talked about this before, but his passes had more velocity, like the St. Louis game. They had more zip on them, specifically the one to Jerome Simpson between the two safeties, and that's viewing it from afar, it just seemed like he was playing more confidently.
Yeah. He got in a great rhythm, and as you said earlier, that run for a touchdown probably helped a lot. But some of the things we did early also with the bootlegs, you know, getting him on the perimeter, getting some completions, all those things played a part in his success.
You guys are 5-1 when Christian does not throw an interception. Obviously, it's a huge stat. I know you're big into the takeaway and giveaway right behind the final score. I could argue it's the most significant stat out there. How well is he protecting the ball at this stage of the season?
Well, it was great the way he played on Sunday for us against the Rams. It was clean football, didn't turn the ball over, kept us out of harm's way, did everything we needed him to do to lead our offense. And for us, that makes a big difference. When we can win the turnover battle, we're a pretty good football team. Now, if we end up minus, we struggle.
In a game against a team like the Texans, I think they've scored at least 30 points like around seven times this year. You're on the road. They're 12-2. Obviously a very good outfit. Do you need something out of the ordinary to happen to win? A defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, a big take inside the 20? Do you need something like that to win?
Well, you would always like to see a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown to help your team. Is it necessary to win on the road? Doesn't have to happen. You can win other ways, but it definitely would enhance our chances of winning.
Why no touchdowns the last two for Kyle Rudolph?
You know, we still look for Kyle in the red area. We still try to get the football to him in different ways, and it just hasn't happened, not because we haven't looked for him.
I've been waiting to say this all season, but good for John Carlson. Showed up pretty well in the St. Louis game.
Yes, he did. We were able to find him and get some completions to him, and we hope over these next couple of weeks, you know, we'll continue to utilize his strengths, and it was great to find a way to get him the ball.
You know, when we talk about defenses, Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings on Vikings Live from Winter Park, and trying to slow Adrian Peterson, we hear the 8-9 man in the box, the single high safety, thus you get man coverage with your receivers and your tight ends. We've seen that and we've heard it all year. This may be a dumb question, but do you see teams at times play cover two defense to minimize Adrian's long runs? In other words, we're willing to concede that you're going to get a little here, but you're not going to get 50, 60, or 70, so thus they play cover two.
You know what? That's a great point that you're making. We don't get that a lot, but there have been a couple occasions where we saw cover two, and we didn't anticipate it, and it was because of what you said. They were more concerned that if Adrian were to hit a crease, there's nobody but the free safety to try to make that tackle. So we've seen some too high in some situations we didn't expect for the reason you just said.
Can you give us a Chris Cook update, please?
You know, he's making great progress. He's looked pretty good in practice. We need to get another day out of him and then make a determination before game time.
Gut feeling, will he play Sunday? And conditioning-wise, how do you think he'll be? How far along will he be, Leslie?
He seems to be far enough along where he should be able to get out there on the field. How much we play him, that's still yet to be determined.
What about Brian Robinson?
That's going to be a tough one. Yeah. Grade 3 AC, we'll have to see what happens on Friday. He's making progress. Yeah. I don't know if he'll have enough time, but we'll see.
Everson Griffin's getting along okay now, though, isn't he?
Everson's doing very well. He played a heck of a game for us on Sunday. More reps for him, and, you know, we think he'll do a good job.
So if Brian doesn't go and Everson starts, do you activate DeAndre Reed?
That's possibly what we'll do. You know, if we're not able to get Brian, we'll need another guy up.
Can Christian Ballard play defensive end, or is he strictly defensive tackle now?
No, we played him at some end in that Rams game because we didn't dress DeAndre, so we kicked him out there. He's one of those guys who has that type of flexibility.
And he had the first sack of his career, and it seems like Christian is, speaking of confidence, Christian's happier. It seems like Christian Ballard's more secure with his role, and after waiting a little while, it seems like Christian Ballard's playing okay for you.
Yeah, he's really come along, and you hit the nail on the head when you said confidence, because that's a big deal with Christian Ballard, having confidence about what he's doing, and the fact that we've shown confidence in him by getting him more snaps, and that's because he's done a good job when we put him in there.
Back to Adrian Peterson for a second. You've seen him all of his career. Is this the
most this is Ricky Rubio. You're listening
has
to the
ever fun. Been in letting things establish in front of him?
I think so, Paul. When I look back at his career and look at what he's accomplished this season, he's come back from that ACL injury, a more patient runner, just letting things set up, which I think in turn has helped our offensive line to trust that he's going to be where he's supposed to be. And because of that, we've had fewer negative runs because of his patience and letting things develop rather than just hitting it up in there and just hoping something happens.
What are the plans for J.J. Watt?
Oh, boy, we've got different things planned, but, you know, it remains to be seen how effective they'll be. I mean, everybody goes into each one of these games and they have a plan for J.J. Watt, and then he just disrupts your offense. So, you know, we're going to try to slow him down as best we can.
Any tennis rackets like Belichick to try to deter the passing lanes?
Well, we didn't use tennis rackets, but what we did was we had these blue diamonds that we have in practice, and we wave those in front of our quarterbacks and try to swat at the ball, much like he does. I mean, he's one of the best in the league at batting balls down.
Not to try to make him sound like the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. You played on maybe the best defense in the history of the NFL. Mm. But if you look at his stats and if you look at his games and you obviously look at the film, have you seen much better overall than J.J. Watt?
I tell you, it's tough to find a guy doing so many things as well as he is across the board, whether it be rushing the passer, where he has 19 and a half sacks, or causing havoc with some of the things he does in one-on-one blocking situations in your run game. And then the ability to bat down balls the way he does, not many guys are doing what he's doing right now.
Alan Williams, the first-year defensive coordinator, and his timing with his calls in the St. Louis Rams game, was that maybe his best performance as a defensive coordinator? And we talk about players improving in their first year. What about him as a defensive coordinator improving as the year has gone on?
I think you're on to something there, Paul. I really believe that he's gotten better and better as the year has gone on. And right now, he's really beginning to peak. He's doing some things these last two or three weeks that have been pretty impressive. And now we got a big challenge this weekend against the Texans, so this will be a real test.
So coordinators get in rhythms like quarterbacks or players?
Oh, yeah, I think they do. Especially in your first year where you're still learning the team every week because you're going to this different style offenses each week. So you're still developing a rapport with your players and understanding what's a good call based on your personnel.
Your punter, Chris Cluey, seems to be finishing pretty well, knock on proverbial wood. His off-field interests, do they ever bug you? Do you ever talk to him about things?
We do talk, often about some of the things that he gets involved in. And, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. My only concern is if it affects what we're trying to get done as a football team. And he and I have talked at length about different things.
Is Blair Walsh superstitious?
I don't know that. I don't. It doesn't seem. He doesn't seem to be. But most kickers usually are.
So do players treat red hot kickers like pitchers throwing no hitters? I mean, he's 8 of 8 from 50 and beyond, tied for an NFL record.
Right.
He's having one of the greatest kicking seasons in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. Is it just business as usual with him because he's a kicker?
I think so. Our players kind of leave him alone like they do most kickers. They don't really mess with him very much, and they'll tease him now and then. But it's kind of like, you know, the baseball pitchers that have a no-hitter going. You know, guys kind of stay away from him, and That's kind of the way it is with Blair.
Their running back, Arian Foster, what makes him special?
He has great vision. He's one of those guys where it looks like there's nothing there, and all of a sudden he'll put his foot in the ground and just cut against the grain and make someone miss or run through potential tacklers. He plays with great vision.
So he goes along slowly, kind of like in the NBA, Paul Pierce. Looks like he's going at 1 mile per hour. Then all of a sudden you look up, he has 35 points. Does Arian just kind of glide along, Cadillac it, then bam, there he goes?
He's like that. He's a very smooth runner. You don't think he's going to get to the edge, and all of a sudden he's on the edge of your defense. Or you think there's nothing there, and then he cuts back against your defense. He said, wait a minute, it didn't seem to be that quick or that fast, but now he's in your secondary.
Last one, Leslie. For your defense, the defensive tackles, you always want to see them play well, but in a game like this with as much movement as you see from the Texans' offensive line, how important are your tackles playing well and keeping bodies off those linebackers and maybe even the safeties?
Well, that's probably the key to our success against their running game this weekend. If we're going to be successful, it's going to be because our defensive tackles did a great job. Because this blocking scheme, they're trying to cut you from behind and trying to get you to run sideways, so you're having to make tackles sideways rather than square running backs up. So it's a very effective run blocking scheme, and we're going to have to do a great job with our defensive tackles.
8-6, Leslie. You guys have done a great job. Happy holidays. Bless you and your family this Christmas season. Best of luck Sunday.
Thank you, Paul.
That's Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. And I'm Paul Allen. You're listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. We remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Catch all of your must-see games at any of the 21 metro area locations. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, and Vikings running backs coach James Saxon. Happy holidays, my friend, and thanks for joining the radio show.
Happy holidays to you. Thanks for having me.
I have some Adrian Peterson stuff that you probably already know, but in case the audience doesn't, can I get 30 seconds of your time just to feel super proud about your prized pupil?
Sure.
Adrian Peterson has 1,103 rushing yards on first down alone. That would put him as 10th overall in the NFL for rushing yards on all downs. He has 1,313 yards since week 7. That's the same number Arian Foster has the entire season. Adrian has the most 20-yard runs this season in the NFL. He has 20. C.J. Spiller has 11. You're his coach. You can take all the credit here if you want.
No, not any way I'll do that.
How do you coach Adrian Peterson?
Well, first of all, I try to stay out of the way. Just kind of try to give him as much information as I can. I mean, he's been doing a great job of putting the ball in the right place, and our offensive line's been playing very well.
How do you handle Adrian? Say he whiffs on a blitz pickup in a game he's having 212 yards. I mean, you obviously have to coach him up, and you obviously have to continue to stay on task, as you would say.
Right.
But, sometimes the focus can only be so much,
Well, he understands that pass protection is equally as important as when a run gets called that we get to place in his stomach. But, we talk about, his techniques in terms of what he has to do. He's actually a very good pass protector.
What's different about Adrian this year compared to previous years?
Well, I've only been with this is my second year with him. The thing that I've tried to stress is, I want him to understand that he's got to try to make the line's job very simple, and that's basically by putting the ball in the correct place.
Is Adrian stronger between tackles or on the perimeter?
Well, I try not to look at it like that. I try to look at it in terms of what we've, I've obviously designed as a run game when we were playing a particular opponent, but we want to try to give him the best space possible, whether it's the inside or outside, whatever it may be that week.
I brought this up with head coach Leslie Frazier. I'd like your response. Adrian's patience, and I know that you've only looked at him and worked with him for 2 years, but even from last year or what you knew about him before, is he better at waiting for the fullback to do what he does, waiting for the second level blocking, waiting for the receivers? Is Adrian, with maturity, more patient?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if I want to call it patience. Yeah, I believe it's patience, but I think he understands the scheme, and I think that's what I stress. I mean, it's not just one guy trying to break 15 different tackles on every single play. I mean, you have to play with the other 10 guys on offense to help those guys help you.
What are your thoughts on Texans left defensive end J.J. Watt?
Probably the best defensive lineman in football right now. I mean, that guy is very, very dynamic. I'm watching tape. I don't think I've seen a defensive lineman make as many plays as he does, you know, so we're going to have our hands full with him.
Even against the run, I mean, 19 and a half sacks, but he has those 33 tackles for loss. James, the amazing number, though, with him is that the 15 pass breakups, right, more than the DBs and more than anybody on the team. But from a running standpoint, is he stout against the run?
No, he's a very good player. You know, their entire defense is good. I mean, they're a good football team. They're a 12-2 football team. So anytime you aspire to be a good football team in this league, you have to beat good teams, and this is a good team, and it'll be a good challenge for us.
James, do you point out elite players to Adrian during the work of the week of practice? He knows who J.J. Watt is. He probably sees him on NFL Network or whatever, but do you issue challenges to him to try to add something to what he does?
Not so much. I think the thing that I talk about with the guys in our room, I talk about what do you do on your particular assignment? What are your responsibilities on a particular play? The thing I look for as a coach is I want a string of successful plays. You know, whether or not we got 65, 70 plays in the game, I'd like to get 70 plays where they're executing their assignments properly.
Now, with Adrian Peterson, have you found that there's a better way to coach him? I mean, do you need to go hard on him? Do you have to slow roll it? What are the best routes to talking to Adrian Peterson to keep him obviously upper echelon, or when he makes mistakes to try to pull him out of it?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because the way that I teach all the guys that I coach is, you know, this is feedback. When I give you information, I want to get some feedback, you know, and the feedback that they give me tells me whether or not that they're getting what we're trying to teach. And, you know, he's the same as every other guy in the room. He's eager. He wants to learn. And as a coach, you know, we're teachers, so we have to teach them what we want them to do.
Do you get that by play from him, you know, where you open something up and then he'll say, stop the film for a second, let me ask you this, this, and this?
Yeah, there's no question. He's the same. I mean, he's probably not as vocal that way, but, I mean, he listens, and then when they're not talking, that means they're hearing me. So he's done a great job in our room.
Adrian's done a fair job this year catching the ball. I know he had a 6-catch game against, I believe, the Bears earlier this year. But when it comes to Adrian improving as an overall back, catching the ball is something that probably will have to improve with him and the quarterback and everybody involved. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think he can catch the ball. He's been catching the ball. I don't know what his numbers are, but I know he's over 30. And he's been doing a great job with that. And like with all the other backs, we work on those skills.
And catching the ball in the screen game, that's an art, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an art of patience. It's an art of catching it while kind of looking up the field.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a timing thing. And it's like, you know, not everybody's a great screen runner. And fortunately, we have some guys, and we have some, you know, a feel for it. And I don't know how many screens we've run this year, but we've run a few, and we've been fairly successful.
Well, I think you've only run one wheel route this year, where he comes out of the backfield,
yeah,
goes down the sidelines. It was in that Green Bay game,
right,
and he just zipped by the linebacker.
Right.
Quarterback couldn't close on it. After moments like that, does Adrian become frustrated?
I don't think so. I think he understands, and within the scheme of things, that, you know, in order to execute plays, you need 11 guys on offense doing the same thing, and hopefully, you know, you get a successful play.
Do you think if Percy Harvin were still playing and then we're not on the injured reserve list, James, that Adrian would have as many rushing yards as he has now, or do you think the offense would be more balanced?
Well, you know, I don't really get into that. I just think that, you know, we're where we're at right now, and I'm just happy where we're at.
What about Toby Gerhardt? How do you work with him?
Well, Toby understands. I mean, the guy's playing at a very high level. And, you know, the thing I talked to Toby about, he's always got to be prepared and be ready to go. And Toby's a very good professional that way. He prepares himself.
Do you think it's been difficult for Toby being Adrian's backup?
I don't know if it's been difficult, because he's been in the game in critical situations. I mean, he's not probably getting as many number of snaps as he wants, but I mean, that's pro football. I mean, you come in this league, and if you're not the starter, you got to prepare yourself like like you're a starter, and you never know when your opportunity is going to come.
And the thing for Toby, specifically in that Redskins game last year, is when he does get the opportunity, even in the Rams game a little bit, he had some pop in that Rams game with limited opportunity. You could tell Toby pays attention to it, he studies it, and he's ready to go.
Well, this guy is ready to go. I mean, I'm very happy we have that guy here. I think the world of him as a football player and as a person.
How do you and offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave work in unison to coordinate a game plan, specifically from the running game standpoint?
Well, I think it's a group effort. Jeff Davison, our line coach, does a great job coming up with runs, and he and Bill go through them, and you know, we'll all sit there and we'll discuss them and talk about them and see the positives and the negatives of everything we want to try to offer these guys to give them space.
Happy holidays, my friend. Best of luck against the Texans this weekend, okay? And great work with the running backs this year.
Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. James Saxon, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. One of the better centers in the National Football League and the leader of the Minnesota Vikings offensive line, John Sullivan, joins us now on the Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live, and here's John Sullivan. Happy holidays, my friend. You seem a little cranky today. Is the body worn down, or what's going on?
The body is most certainly worn down. I'm a little bit cranky because it's late, but all in all, I feel pretty good. I also resented the one of the better centers comment. You know, I think that's a little, you can give me a little bit more props than that, but that's okay.
Okay, yeah. 3-2, and ladies and gentlemen, the best center in the history of the National Football League, John Sullivan joins us now.
Thank you, Paul.
For Vikings Live at Winter Park, and seriously speaking, you obviously are doing very well at what you do, not only at your job, but coordinating the offensive line, which has a bunch of new people in new spots. I know we're at the end of the year, but you had a new left tackle, a new left guard, you got a rotation of right guard now, right tackle's in a contract year. You know, by the way, the running back is $1.47 a game from Eric Dickerson's record. So you have to be very proud of that, are you?
Yeah, you know, I'm happy with our whole team. I mean, obviously we progressed as an offensive line, but week in and week out as an entire squad, I think we've gotten better. That's what you need to do in the NFL. Very rarely do you see teams, you know, that stay the same from week 1 to week 17. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. So I think we've improved in terms of the offensive line. You know, I'm just going out there fulfilling my role, doing what I'm coached to do. Yeah, the credit, the success we've had in terms of our protection, in terms of how we've run blocks so far, that goes to, you know, Coach Davidson and the hard work that everybody's put in.
And can you look at this right now and say that you are part of the best rush offense in Minnesota Vikings history?
You know, I know there have been some great offenses. I don't want to make a blanket statement like that. We'll see how things look after 16 games. If we break the rushing record, it would be hard to argue with that statement.
What do you think about the Texans defense? How does it intimately affect you?
They're excellent. Having seen firsthand now J.J. Watt on tape, Antonio Smith, Sean Cody, Earl Mitchell, these guys are legit. It's not just hype. You know, J.J. Watt is one of the best defensive players in football. He makes plays all over the field. Really athletic, big, you know, big wingspan. He's legit, and it's going to be a big challenge for us.
Who erased Michael Brockers last week? Because we came up to the game, and by Wednesday, I started hearing Michael Brockers' name. I knew 14th overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. I'd seen the stats, whatever he did in the previous game. So I knew he was finishing quite well. Might have called his name one time in the entire game.
Yeah, you know, I thought he played pretty well. He made a few plays. That St. Louis defense is tough because they'll put multiple people in the same gap. They're going to stop you for, you know, a few negative runs. They're going to get some ones, twos, threes, you know, runs that aren't necessarily sexy. But at the same time, when you put that many people in a single gap, you're going to get creased and you're going to have long touchdowns against you. And that's what we saw. That game played out exactly like we thought it would.
Did you see more five defensive linemen sets in that game than you had previously seen?
We did, and we saw more than we anticipated seeing against them. Now, look, there's nothing that we can see at this point that we haven't seen in order to try to stop the run. You know, in any phase, the NFL can get pretty exotic in terms of the looks that you get. So we've seen it all. You know, it might mess you up for a play, but at the same time, we have incredible coaches that make adjustments very well. And as soon as we know, we can anticipate what we're going to see, some of the more exotic looks, we'll go over to the sidelines, we'll get that stuff all worked out, and we'll go out and execute for the rest of the game.
John, after talking to Leslie Frazier and some other people about the way Houston operates, including your friend Ben Lieber, who played for the Chargers and for Wade Phillips, coordinator for the Texans, It sounds like, you know, with all due respect to the Texans, they're pretty simplistic. They just rely on their athletic ability and their instincts and the film work that they've done. and the Wade Phillips does not overcomplicate things for them. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is a fair statement, and I think that that's part of the reason why they play why they're such a strong defense is, you know, you don't see those mistakes. You know, they're very gap sound. You know, almost kind of like the Chicago Bears. I mean, not a similar style of defense, but similar in how they're disciplined. Like you said, they're not overly complicated. They know what they do. They do it well, and you know they force you to try to beat them that way.
You mentioned J.J. Watt, 19.5 sacks, got all those glitzy numbers and everything, leads them in tackles too. How does he impact your game? Like what's your responsibility and or role individually with him?
I'll see him mostly when we're in sub, third down stuff when we get into our sub packages. He comes and plays on the inside then, usually over our right guard. So that's when I'll see him the most. It'll generally be on line games or if he stunts inside against Brandon, depending on where I'm working, what the protection calls for. In base, when they're playing their under front, he's usually the strong side defensive end, so I won't have a whole lot to do with him there. It's possible, but it'll be few and far in between in base.
What's an under front?
Under front means that you have a nose guard strong and a three technique on the weak side.
You have a guard, a right guard rotation. Brandon Fusco played extremely well, from what I understand, in the Bears game, maybe his best game as a pro. And Jeff Schwartz had a very key block on Adrian's 82-yard run at St. Louis. How does that rotation impact your game, and what's it like working with them individually? Brandon's younger. Jeff's been around a little bit.
You know, Brandon's if you're comparing them as players, you know, Brandon's a little bit more of a mauler, a little bit more of a physical guy. Jeff is very technique sound. Like you said, he's more experienced. He's been around longer. But at the same time, I feel like we're coached incredibly well, and that's a testament to Coach Davidson, Coach Silverfield, and our entire offensive staff. So really, you know, the NFL, you're going to have guys that come in, go out. It's next man up, and you know, we really don't skip a beat with either of those guys in there.
John Sullivan's our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings radio network. For those who don't get a chance to hear you frequently, you're on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan, a fair amount. But you know, we're all over the Dakotas and everything. For those who don't get a chance to hear you frequently, what is your role as a center for this run-heavy team? What are some key things that you do that help this offense run as well as it does?
You know, I would say just identifying fronts, making sure that everybody's on the same page, and that type of communication usually starts with identifying what you hear is called familiarly the mic or the middle linebacker. A lot of the times when you identify that person, it's pretty arbitrary. You can pick different people. So you want to make the best choice possible, but plays should function as long as everybody's on the same page, as long as everybody's treating the same person as the mic. So I try to pick out the best guy for, you know, what our schemes call for, and then make any adjustments based on that. When it comes down to it, it's mainly identification, and that gets everybody on the same page and allows us to execute as, you know, all 11 guys.
You came into the game in 2008. You've been a full-time starter outside of injury since 2009, the NFC title game year. What for you do you see when you look back at plays is different about Adrian Peterson? Would it be his patience?
This year, do you mean?
Yeah, this year. Could this year compare to the previous year?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint it. He's incredible right now in every facet of the game. He's got patience when he needs it. He knows when to hit the holes. He's incredibly tough to bring down. He's got incredible top end speed. As soon as he gets into the open field, you know, we just basically start walking behind the play because you know he's going to score. You know, I also think that we have incredibly good run game coordination right now from, you know, Bill Musgrave, Jeff Davidson, like I've spoken about before. So I think they're doing an incredible job putting us in positions as blockers and as a runner in Adrian's case to be successful. And it really all starts there.
What's it been like working with left tackle Matt Khalil? I know his spot it's not immediately affected by your spot, but you still watch, you're the leader of the offensive line. How do you think he's doing this year?
I think he's been fantastic. I really consider him one of the best left tackles in football already. Pass pro, he's second to none. He's gone up against, you know, some incredible players. Julius Peppers, you know, within the division. Hopefully he'll get a chance to play Clay here in a couple weeks and we'll see how he does. And, you know, I really think he's been underrated in the run game. You go back and watch a lot of the tape, especially playing against Kyle VandenBosch, some other people throughout the course of the year. The punch that he brings when he brings his hips really is able to expand the edge, you know, when we're running up inside. As we all saw last week, he pulled around the edge and just absolutely leveled Cortland Finnegan, which is always nice to see. So, you know, he's been fantastic so far, as advertised.
Would you consider yourself a vocal leader, not only for this line or offense, but team, period?
I've come into my own in that phase. My biggest thing before was anytime I'd make a mistake, I didn't feel like I have a ground. I had ground to stand on. You know, I didn't feel like I could call other people out. And I know that, you know, Coach Frazier wants people to be held accountable. And having done it for a few years now, being in my fifth year, I believe I'm the second longest tenured person on the Vikings offense with this team, you know, behind Adrian. So, I think I've grown into that role a little bit. But at the same time, you know, you have to focus on being positive. You can yell and you can tell guys, you know, to get their head out of their, you know what. But at the same time, you know, ultimately when people are feeling good and they have self-confidence, they play better. So, you know, yeah, I've grown into more of that role.
And you have to play well to be that guy.
Yeah, I feel like you do. You can't be calling out people for, you know, missing assignments, having mental errors if you're out there doing the exact same thing. You don't want to be a hypocrite. So that's why I put in a lot of time trying to study, you know, making sure I try to do things the right way, you know, lead by example, but also, you know, let someone know if they're not holding up their end of the bargain.
Well, you seem less cranky now. Hopefully that was as good for you as it was for all of us throughout the Vikings Radio Network. You just cracked a smile for those of us here at the Vikings Entertainment Network Sports Authority Studios. You've had a great season. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks,
okay?
Paul. Thanks, Paul.
John Sullivan, center for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll close with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. Handicap the Vikings and the Texans when we return to the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Show tonight, Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank Leslie Frazier, James Saxon, and most recently, center John Sullivan, one of my very favorite guests in my 11 years of calling Vikings games, for joining us in advance of the Houston Texans game. And we always invite you to join me and Paul Charchi at Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, tomorrow, the radio show is from 9 until noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Lakeville. It's a Friday football feast, of course, on the flagship for Vikings football, FM 100.3 The Fan. You can get the complete schedule via Vikings.com or from my show page at KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page, and that complete schedule only includes two stops: Lakeville tomorrow and then Crystal after that, unless, as Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com joins us, unless the Vikings go to the playoffs, then we have bonus feasting.
And we can take a huge step toward getting to the playoffs on Sunday, Paul, with the win over the Houston Texans. They have a ton on the line as well. They've already qualified by virtue of winning the division, but a win for them secures home field advantage for the playoffs. So we're going to get their best effort, and as anyone who's watched Houston knows, their best effort is pretty good.
And speaking of feasting, Adrian Peterson has been feasting on defenses pretty much for the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to say this for a second time this show, but it just amazes me that he has 1,313 yards since week 7, and that's the total Arian Foster has the entire year.
Right.
And Arian's fourth in the NFL, and Arian into the season is considered one of the certainly three best running backs in the NFL, but maybe top two with Adrian. And Adrian's absolutely blowing him and the rest of the competition away. What are some of your thoughts about the way Adrian Peterson is finishing?
Well, you know, the amazing thing to me is he comes, obviously everyone knows that it's incredible that he's doing this off the knee injury, and that's not hard to figure out. That's amazing in and of itself. But
that's amazing.
He had to rehab that knee injury all offseason, so he never really got what most players get, and that's some time off from working out, whether it be in July before training camp or they don't come to OTAs or whatever a player wants to do to get a break. Yeah. Adrian didn't do that, and then he hits the ground running once training camp and the regular season starts and continues his training and his body maintenance, as all NFL players do, and he's gotten better as the season has gone on. So, I mean, he's really been going full throttle with his body for longer than most NFL players do it, but he's still on the incline and getting better. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'll be curious to see this offseason, Paul, how he handles training, if he does it differently than he's ever done it because he's gotten these great results, if he's going to train harder than he normally has in the off season, just it'll be interesting to see if he makes an adjustment based on this season.
Now, via Vikings.com, you guys have put together a new feature called 28 for 28.
Yes.
What is it?
It's really cool. It's a Facebook application, basically. And we believe that Adrian should be named the NFL's 2012 MVP. And we're going to prove it, and we're going to do it via this Facebook application where we're going to list off 28 reasons why he's the MVP.
Right.
And there are going to be various different forms of reasons. Some are going to be highlights, like his 82-yard touchdown runs. Some are going to be footage of his rehab and off-season workouts. Some is going to be his community events. An array of reasons why he is such a great player and why he should be the MVP. You know, I think we've listed the first five or six so far, and we're going to go all the way up until the Green Bay Packers game, and hopefully the last few reasons are the run that puts him over Eric Dickerson's mark, the run that gets us to the playoffs, and then his reaction to breaking Eric Dickerson's record. He'll obviously speak about the team and the line, and that'll be reason number one because of how humble he is.
And where can people find that? You say it's a Facebook application. Get to it.
Yeah, you can go to the Vikings Facebook page, search Minnesota Vikings on Facebook. You'll find it there. If you follow the Vikings on Twitter at Vikings Football, you'll find a link to it there. A lot of different ways. You go to Vikings.com, we'll point you to it there. AllDayMVP.com will also direct you to 28 for 28. It's a pretty cool interactive application.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, Mike, for bringing it up. I appreciate that.
No problem. Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. We're in deep stretch. We have the Texans this weekend at noon. Pre-game for network affiliates at 11, the flagships. That would include the FM and AM side. That commences at 10 a.m. from Reliant. You, speaking of Vikings.com, recently had a sit-down with running back immortality, Jim Brown.
Awesome.
How'd that go? And what did he say about
it? It was awesome. He joined us as the guest on our Wobcast, which is a weekly podcast that we put on the website. We had LaDainian earlier in the week, and we got a hold of Jim Brown, so we did two this week. LaDainian was the first one, Jim Brown. Jim Brown was amazing. He was on with Dan Barrero on KFAN the same day, and then he did the interview with us, and he was just fantastic. I mean, the way he talked about Adrian, and you can't really blame Eric Dickerson for coming out and saying publicly he doesn't want Adrian to break his record. So I'm not mad at Eric Dickerson for saying that. Yeah. But the contrast between the way he talks about current players and then the way Jim Brown does, how he's not afraid to speak about someone else in glowing terms. It was really moving to listen to Jim Brown talk about Adrian Peterson the way he did. It was really kind of a cool thing, and I felt honored to be able to just talk to Jim Brown, Hall of Famer.
From Leslie Frazier through James Saxon and John Sullivan, now to our beloved Wobby from Vikings.com, it's your opportunity to rhapsodize and glorify J.J. Watt. Because I have not found anybody locally or nationally all week to say anything bad about this guy, and not even to the point of, well, you know what, over the last 2 years, if offenses have done this, he's been a little off his game. I guess he's impenetrable. I guess wherever he is on the field, we might as well just run the opposite
way. I have something.
What?
He played for the Badgers, right?
Well, yeah, that's great. We're happy for him.
Well, that's not good. Something bad about him.
That's not good.
He played for Wisconsin. We don't like that.
I know he leads them in tackles. I know he has 33 tackles for loss, 15 pass breakups.
That's incredible.
19 and a half sacks. I know he has big arms. I know Belichick uses tennis rackets. I mean, I know he's the best defensive player in the NFL. There is not a player in the history of the NFL who does not have a flaw. I would sure like to know what his is.
I don't know. Maybe teams don't run straight at him. Maybe they try and get around him. Maybe they try and throw it over him. Maybe no one runs right at him. Don't you think that this Vikings offense and the offensive line in general, and I throw Jerome Felton into there.
Yeah.
We saw Chris Johnson go for 94 yards, right? That's flash. You know, Adrian has some flash to him, but I think this offense moves the ball with power, with a power running game.
Yep.
Maybe that'll be this team's weakness. Maybe no one has tried to run straight at him.
I love that angle.
You know, looking at
Belichick did that in the game that they won early. They ran right at J.J. Watt and put multiple bodies on him.
I don't know. Maybe that's something, you know. The Houston Texans teams have run the ball 30 or more times in a game against Houston, only twice the whole season in 14 games. The Vikings have done that 5 times.
Wow.
You know, they average 29.5 carries a game. Houston only sees about 22.5 carries a game. So I don't know that teams have really come in, been committed, and stuck with the run against this team.
Great take.
Probably because they fall behind and they have to pass it, but even if we fall behind, we're still going to stick with Adrian. So let's just run it right at him and try and be more physical than them. I think this offensive line can do it.
I think that's a great take because this is the best rushing offense in the NFL with the best rushing running back in the NFL. I just wonder, off what you said, how many times has J.J. Watt seen a fullback like Jerome Felton with a rookie search-blocking tight end like Red Ellison who has one thing to do? Work on number 99.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if J.J. Watt has ever seen that in his career.
Yeah, great question. You know what? And, you know, we talked a little bit about Justin Smith in this way, Paul, how he was a great player and he can stop the run, the way he can scrape down the line. And, and the Vikings took care of Justin Smith. The guy's a good player and he's going to be in the playoffs and he's probably going to make a huge difference. I don't mean to disrespect Justin Smith, but the Vikings took care of him. And so maybe they can take care of J.J. Watt. Maybe they do something different. Maybe they have an offensive lineman not touch him and go straight to the second level and let Jerome Felton get a running start on J.J. Watt. Something like that.
Give me your two keys for the Vikings winning the game and make it take 30 seconds.
You know, to me, defensively, Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub, the passing game, Owen Daniels, really good. But, I mean, this starts with Arian Foster. Our run defense has to be gap sound. We cannot make mistakes against this guy. You can't miss tackles. I think they like to run wide. So our linebackers are going to be really important in this game because they got to string it out. Offensively, Christian Ponder's got to make some plays in the passing game. We're going to have to beat Houston through the air at some point in this game, and Christian Ponder's going to have to be the one to do it. So we got to set him up, put him in a position to succeed and just get the job done.
Bless you and your wife Allison and everybody in your family this holiday season, and thanks for joining the
show. Thanks, Paul. Same to you.
And also bless all of the Vikings fans who listen to this show weekly. Happy holidays to all of you from all of us at the Vikings Entertainment Network, where the executive producer of the VEN is Brian Harper. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. Producers this evening, Jay and Joe Nelson. And for all of us here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.